Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Luke chapter 12. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This is the text. As I had said in my opening remarks, both today's Old Testament and Gospel readings, they go together well and give direct lessons warning us against misguided priorities involving the gifts of God. Certainly, it talks about the material gifts of God, but even more so, the spiritual gifts. But you see in Ecclesiastes, where our Old Testament reading is from, and in the parable that Jesus tells, he's drawing attention to all of those gifts that we tend to focus on, the things that we can see, touch, and taste. And when you look back at Ecclesiastes, Solomon's entire purpose for writing, it was late in his life, and he laments over the wasted years of his life. The Lord had blessed him with wisdom beyond compare. Scripture says he was the wisest man to ever live because God blessed him with that as he had given Solomon one request and Solomon asked for wisdom. Well, in addition to having the lights on upstairs, the Lord also had blessed Solomon with gold and silver and with all of the so-called good things of life. In the book of 1 Kings, it says that in the days of Solomon, silver was as common as stones in Jerusalem. He was arguably the wealthiest man to ever live in regard to having the largest percentage of the world's wealth at any one time. But Solomon, in his older years, looking back on his life, all the hard work that he had done to expand his treasuries, to expand his sphere of influence, to engage in every pleasure that the world had to offer, it had not gotten him anywhere. Not in regard to things that truly mattered. It certainly did not bring him closer to God. In fact, as you read Solomon's history, in 1 Kings, the more that he gains for himself, the farther away from God he finds himself. It's not until late in life that Solomon repents and is drawn back to worshiping the Lord in the way he did in his earlier years. What Solomon learned only late in life is the lesson that Jesus wants all of his hearers to learn before it's too late. So he tells this parable. Now, Solomon was blessed with a life long enough that he saw the error of his ways. The fool in Christ's parable gets a surprise visit, and his life demanded of him. For him, it was too late. Solomon, during his wasted years, and the fool in the parable both suffer from the same illness, the sin of greed, the love of money, which manifests itself in all kinds of forms, causes all kinds of problems. After all, as Scripture says, it is the root of every kind of evil. The person who succumbs to the temptation of greed is trying to establish and measure his life by what he has. And oh, how we see this everywhere in the world, the whole keeping up with the Joneses mentality. It strips away the understanding of who you are in relation to God and others. if we judge ourselves or judge others by the material things that they possess, we really are looking at the world in the wrong way. Because as Scripture points out repeatedly, no one has more treasure than the one who possesses the Word of God and has, by grace, through faith, been brought into the kingdom of God and promised the inheritance of the kingdom of God and the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. If you want to find treasure, that's where it is. Well, the center of the parable that Jesus tells is about this foolish man's decision concerning the abundance that he has. He doesn't understand that everything he has, all of his wealth, it's simply a gift from God. And he has more than he needs. Now, having the abundance isn't the problem. Having himself as his highest priority is the problem. So he decides to tear down the old barns, build new ones, and retire to a life of ease. There's no talk of using God's gifts for the betterment of those around him or the people who worked with him and for him. There's no talk of returning thanks to God. Why should he? He congratulates himself on the wisdom of his plan. He pronounces his present and his future to be absolutely secure. It's all laid out before him according to his plan. This is what I'm going to do. This is how I will live the rest of my life. He consults with no one, not with God in prayer, not with family, not with community. He makes himself completely alone in his decision. The man says, I'll say to my soul, soul, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, relax, eat, drink, be merry. He must speak to his own soul because this man does not have anyone else with whom to share his abundance or with whom he is willing to share his abundance. He can only tell himself to relax, eat, drink, be merry. His greedy heart has sentenced him to celebrate alone. But before he can rest in his self-pronounced security for the rest of his life, the one who gave him all of these good gifts, God speaks. He's an uninvited guest and crashes this man's party. He spoils it and tells him, you fool, do you not know that tonight your life will be demanded of you? One of my favorite quotes from the church fathers, I know you probably heard me say it before, Irenaeus of Lyon, he said, the business of every Christian is every day being prepared to die. That's our one task every day. That's our main job every day. It's all about having priorities, with God as our highest priority. The fool in the parable is the perfect example of what Christ was talking about when he said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world, yet lose his soul? This is why he's a fool. His possessions that he treasured, that he had confidence in, they actually possessed him, owned him, and now they're meaningless. It is all vanity, as Solomon says in Ecclesiastes. It is meaningless. He can't take it with him. Not when his life is demanded of him. If only the fool in the parable had learned the lesson that Solomon was, by the grace of God, allowed to learn late in his life. If only the world would learn before it's too late. If only we would recognize this. It is such a beautiful thing, really, to see a child of God, recognize God as having his proper place in ranking of priority in their life. It is such a beautiful thing to see someone who treasures the gift of God, his grace, his word, the promise of the resurrection of the body, life everlasting, as being the highest priority. And when you see that in God's people, it truly is a beautiful thing. Far too often, we look at the blessings we have received and we act like the fool and pat ourselves on the back, congratulate ourselves for all that we have done, and dream of ways that we can relax and eat, drink, be merry, and forget that everything we have actually comes from God. As we just sang in our hymn, "We give thee but thine own. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee." King Solomon, during the wasted years of his life, and the fool in the parable, they were in the wrong because they had their priorities wrong concerning God and his gifts. They ignored the gifts that will last forever, the gift of salvation, the gift of the promise of a Savior, the gift of God's word. All their attention, at least Solomon for a time, was placed on the temporary things, the temporary gifts, all the things they could see and touch and taste. But even with those, they didn't get to fully enjoy it. They missed out on the real blessings associated with all of the temporary gifts from God. Their wealth, because of their attitude toward it, actually left them empty and alone. Solomon had the wealth of the world at his fingertips. He had 700 wives, 300 concubines. And when you read Ecclesiastes, as I encourage you to do, read it cover to cover, it's very clear that for years and years he was empty. And he was alone. Now, he had everything that the world could offer. He was surrounded by people. But you read his words, and you can see that he was a man who was empty and alone. Now, having wealth was not Solomon's problem. Money is not the root of all evil. It's the love of it. The striving to gather and collect, as he says in our Old Testament lesson. Scripture says the love of it is the root of all kinds of evil. It's when our priorities get out of balance that we find ourselves alone, empty, striving, chasing after wind, as Solomon says. It's such a great image. It's a futile task. You'll never catch it. Usually when someone sets their focus or priorities on the temporary joys of life, the things that we can see, touch, and taste, finding real peace, finding true joy, real contentment, it becomes increasingly difficult because the lie that you have to tell yourself is that, oh, I know that I can have all these things and have the peace and joy and contentment that I desire if only I can have just a little bit more of what I can see, touch, and taste. It's all an illusion. It's all just chasing after wind. As Jesus says, being rich toward God is far more satisfying, far more important, far more beneficial, both here and certainly for eternity. It is far more valuable, the treasure that we have in Christ, than having any sort of treasure here on earth. Through Christ's death and resurrection, we have been promised, we have been insured that we are wealthier than than anyone else, because our inheritance is the kingdom of God. the treasure we have is Christ. The assurance we have of our inheritance is the resurrection of the body, life everlasting. All of this temporary stuff, it doesn't last. So we join in again and again, gathering together and celebrating this treasure. As the psalmist sang and the church has echoed for 3,000 years, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.